tell us about your work, first of all. What does the Consultant for Women's Healthcare do?
Well, essentially, I lead the direction of healthcare for women in the Department of Veterans Affairs across our 152 hospitals and 800 outpatient clinics.
So what does that mean in terms of your day-to-day tasks and the types of issues you face?
Well, essentially what I do is set the vision and the policy. Day-to-day, there's a lot of interaction with policymakers and with Congress about how we deliver care for women veterans.
Now, there are more women veterans, I guess, now than ever before in history, so that must be driving a lot of the efforts that you're doing.
That's certainly true, and I call it the number of women in the pipeline. You know, back in World War II, there were a lot of women, but it was only 3% of the military. Today, 15% of active duty are female, and many more are volunteering every day.
So what are some of the issues you felt that VA had to address that perhaps it was underserving women by until you came along?
Well, I think VA and others have really not noticed women. That I talk about women being invisible, even when they've been in the midst of others at VA services. And so early on, when I first started in VA, essentially what VA developed were small clinics, and you know, women were almost an afterthought. We didn't have bathrooms for women in a lot of inpatient units. We didn't have the outpatient services, and essentially really needed to ramp up and say women have volunteered for their country, they've served their country, and they deserve the best care that we can possibly develop for them. So we've run out healthcare services for women throughout the country. We talk about the one-stop shop where they get comprehensive healthcare when they come into a VA, no matter where they come, whether it's a small clinic or a large hospital.
This might seem like an obvious question. I mean, of course, there are clear differences between what women need in terms of healthcare, like obstetrics or gynecology, and what men need. But when you're talking about veterans, they're all veterans. What are the biggest differences there in terms of gender and what they need?
Well, I think first it's recognition that women have major roles in combat and in other services in the military, so that when someone comes to a VA hospital, the providers will understand and need to ask them about things like that other veterans have, like exposure to substances or exposure to combat stress, and making sure, you know, if a woman were to go to a non-VA provider, how likely is it that that doctor or nurse is going to say to them, have you been in combat? You know, have you had exposure to burn pits and smoke? And so we know that for veterans, there are things that for men and women both they need to be asked, but simply knowing that women have been there is an important part of what we're trying to train everyone to look for.
We are speaking with Dr. Patricia Hayes, Chief Consultant for the Women's Veterans Health Strategic Healthcare Group at the VA, and of course she is a nominee for a Service to America Medal. Now, women, of course, have been arguing for more combat roles. In fact, there's a lawsuit against the military to increase women's, not so much their participation, but the recognition for the combat role that they do play. Are we seeing the types of explosive and ordnance types of injuries occurring to women coming from Iraq and Afghanistan as we've seen in men?
Certainly, those women who are assigned to combat units are exposed to the same dangers and do sustain blast injuries, amputations, traumatic brain injury. We also know that from women as well as from men, the number one injury they come back with are musculoskeletal, you know, chronic pain problems and muscle and joint injuries from the same issues of heavy packs, long times with all of that gear on, you know, with the vests and everything else that they must wear. So they sustain the same kind of injuries for their time in those deployed areas.
When you're working with healthcare workers in VA systems all across the country, are you finding that, I mean, what's the percentage of women like there? Are most of those workers men? Are there a lot of women? And if so, is it easier to sort of tell them about this cultural change that you've embarked on?
Well, actually, we have a majority of female workers, as is true of most healthcare systems. Even our providers are, more than half of our providers are female. But just because someone's a woman doesn't mean they necessarily understand the veteran perspective. Certainly within the VA, we've done significant training and culture change to have folks think about the person in front of them. You know, they didn't come in because they were accompanying a male veteran, but they're there because they're a veteran themselves. So it's that identification of just thinking, oh, she's a veteran, that we're trying to get the message across within VA. Because many of these folks have worked for the VA for 15, 20 years, came to VA to work with men. And so it's really opening their eyes and instilling that culture, not because they don't want to, but because simply they weren't sensitized to the issues for women.
It sounds like this is the type of program that could use plenty of air support from higher-ups. Are you finding that that's the case for you?
Oh, certainly. Secretary Shinseki, from the day he got here, has been very much in support of us enhancing the services for women veterans, and also Congress has been very supportive. But in terms of the public, we are doing a lot of public service announcements and other media campaigns so that everyone thinks about that person may be a woman veteran who served.
So given that, what's the next big challenge or hurdle that you think you face in this?
I think it is that we've done a lot to get develop current services for women, but there's many, many more women on our doorstep. You know, whether we have a deployment or not, whether we have a war or not, the number of women serving today continues to rise dramatically. And we want to be able to make sure that we meet their needs in the future. So we've reached the place we need to be in terms of current services, but we have to keep working very hard to be ready for the next couple of years.
So you got the call that you are a SAMMY's finalist. How did that strike you?
Oh, I was so humbled by this award. I was surprised and pleased for the opportunity to talk about women veterans. I see it as a great opportunity for us to get the word out.